It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, if you're in the job market, it might pay off to work on your soft skills. Things like nice manners, punctuality, and getting along with people. We'll find out which soft skills employers value most and how to cultivate them.
First, Governor Scott Walker announced his proposed budget for 2017-2019 in an address yesterday. As part of his plan, Walker made this call for strengthening schools here in Wisconsin.
To help improve student success, we're investing more money into education than ever before in the history of Wisconsin.
In the budget, Walker calls for putting $11.5 billion into K-12 schools in the state, along with funding changes for the UW system.
Right now, we're joined by two education policy experts. Peter Goff is an assistant professor in the Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis Department at the UW-Madison. He specializes in K-12 education. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being here.
And Nick Hillman is with us. He's an associate professor in the same department. He specializes in higher education policy. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Let's start off, Peter, with what's in the budget for K-12 schools. Again, here's Governor Walker.
We are putting $11.5 billion of state support into K-12 education. Specifically, this budget includes a more than half a billion dollar increase in per pupil aid for public education.
All right, a little disclaimer here. This is an initial budget proposal, can change in the legislature. Questions already being raised by key Republicans in the legislature. But taking this at face value, Peter, what does this increase do? Where does it stand in recent education history, given that there have been some cuts, some restoration? Where does it all stack up?
It does seem to be a bit of a reversal on Walker's part, given the $800 million cut he had issued initially, coming back and refinancing. It strikes me as more of a political move than an actual investment in schools.
Well, that said, though, I mean, it is more money in the schools this year if this goes through than in the previous budget. So is this something that is at least partially a difference maker for schools?
It will be a difference maker, absolutely. And you're right that it's infusing more money into the schools and they need it desperately. So in that regard, it will benefit schools. But one of the most problematic elements of the budget, in my opinion, is the flat tax, the flat grant, where each student is assigned the same amount of dollars regardless of their own personal situation or the district that they come from.
Right. This is a debate going on as part of the state's complicated school funding formula. It's, do we give the same amount of money, see if I'm getting this right, for each kid no matter where they are, or do we take into account extenuating circumstances? Kids in a high poverty district, maybe more money should go along with them, for example. That's the debate, as I hear it.
That is. And it's interesting that you use the word debate, because we use this exact funding system that Walker has proposed in my school finance class. It's a historic example. It started around the early 1900s. And it was quickly dismissed or modified because it's overly simplistic. It doesn't help promote the democratic ideals of education. And it's definitely a step backwards in terms of the funding structure.
And how does it work now? How would this additional money compared to the previous budget compare to the system as it exists now when it comes to money per kid versus money per kid asterisk, depending on their circumstance?
Sure. Well, the main circumstance that the current funding system takes into account is the property value of the district in which the child is going to school. So the current system allows districts that are property poor, that normally would have to tax themselves at a very, very high rate to get a comparable amount of funding, to use a pseudo benchmark set by the state, and then the state will basically backfill the rest of that money so that even poor districts can have comparable levels of funding.
We're looking at education funding proposals in the governor's budget released yesterday. Peter Goff with us, also Nick Hillman, both from the UW-Madison. We've been talking about K-12 so far. Nick, let's look at higher education big picture. Again, we've seen cuts, significant cuts from Governor Walker and previously from Governor Doyle before that. What does this new budget do?
This new budget includes, depending on how you want to count it, includes about $100 million for the University of Wisconsin system, and that's what I'll focus on, and that's what I've been paying most attention to so far. It would be $100 million for the UW system, which is an increase over what we've seen in recent years. The last time that we saw increases were a couple budgets ago, and so this is sort of a part of a long-term defunding of public higher education, but it's starting to go on the upswing.
And along with that, a cut in tuition proposed by the governor. And this is something that lawmakers have been saying, maybe that's not the way to go. But talk about the significance of the proposed tuition cut.
So that $100 million I just mentioned does not include $35 million, which would go for reducing the sticker price of college tuition by 5% across the whole entire system. And so that 5% reduction in tuition, it's not a freeze, but it's actually bringing tuition down by, on average, I think it's about $400 or so for a student. But it would bring that tuition down, and it would cost $35 million. No institution is going to see that $35 million. So that's why I separate it out from that $100 million.
That's just to offset the money they would lose in the tuition cut. Mm-hmm. You had posted a piece on long-term state funding trends for higher education in Wisconsin in inflation-adjusted dollars, I believe. Where do we stand now, looking back over the last couple few decades?
We stand at a low trough. The system was created in the University of Wisconsin system was created in the 1970s, early 1970s, and that was the period of time where we had actually about 30,000 fewer full-time equivalent students, but we also had about $500 million more dollars in the budget. And so you've seen over time, ever since the 70s, you saw a sort of a flat period in the 80s where funding per student stayed relatively flat. And then right around 2000, it's just been a drop year after year, it seems like, occasional upswings. But for the most part, we're far below where we ever have been historically.
And that line of state support keeps drifting downward, and the line of tuition was drifting upward along the same time.
Yes. So tuition became a larger budget item than state appropriations, I believe, in about 2010, the same period of time. And this is a national trend. It's not just in Wisconsin that this is happening, where states are divesting. They've got other priorities, other pressures, and they can pass that expense off to the student. And so you've got, across many states, students now covering a higher percentage of the tuition bill, of the cost of education, than the states.
And Peter?
It's a really nice analog to what we're seeing in K-12 education as well in this new budget. If this flat grant is used to the extent that I think it will be, as we see an increasing amount, what normally is picked up by the state as an equalization system, we're seeing passed on to the students. So students that the less affluent students, the students facing more challenges, it's left up to the state will give the same amount of money, and then it's left up to the individual to sort of make up that gap that they're born into.
Now, in his getting back to K-12 for a moment, in his call for changes in funding, Tony Evers, current Department of Public Instruction head, said, hey, we need more money for a couple things. Rural schools is one. Urban, he was hoping for. English language learners, special needs kids. Some of that, as I understand, is reflected in the governor's budget. What are you seeing there?
It is, absolutely. If we want to think about the pros of the budget, the fact that there's a reinvestment in public education, the K-12 system, that's great. We do see an increase in sparsity aid and transportation aid. That's definitely going to help the rural schools. There's a DPI request for a rural school teacher retention that was not included. But overall, this is a benefit to the school, but the question is it the best use of the funds?
The teacher retention was not included, because that's been an issue we've been hearing, rural schools, especially with particular skill areas, having a hard time not having their teachers poached away by schools that can pay more.
That's right. And it's interesting that Walker declined that element, as the poaching phenomenon is an artifact of Act 10, where we can start differentiating pay. We don't have that same contract system. And this would have been a way to infuse money into the system in a very targeted way that would have addressed, remediated a problem of the Act 10 policy that he put into place.
And Nick, speaking of targeting aid to where it might be needed more, we've heard from some Republican lawmakers, tuition cut, I mean, that's nice, but maybe we should leave tuition flat again and try to target financial aid to students in need, or maybe at the cusp of being able to afford higher education.
That would be an approach that would be well supported by research evidence, and that would be a very efficient and effective use of scarce state funding. And so we've seen time and again that need-based financial aid that is targeted towards students on the margin of maybe they're going to go to college, but price is just too much of a barrier. It bumps them over and encourages them to not just enroll, but also persist. And so that $35 million, rather than spreading that thinly across all the students in the system, could be targeted very narrowly towards that group of students who would be the most responsive to that subsidy, but that's not the direction that this budget proposes to go.
We're talking about how Wisconsin's education system, K through 12 and higher ed, will be funded in the state after Governor Walker's budget address yesterday. We have Peter Goff and Nicholas Hillman in the studio with us. They're both with the Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis Department at the UW-Madison.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the money being allocated to schools in the state? Do you think the budget goes far enough? If you're a teacher, what do you think of the budget? Or if you're a parent, what would you like to see improve in education in the state? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take your questions and comments coming up here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about education funding here in the state. Governor Walker announced that Wisconsin will increase spending for K through 12 schools and called for lower tuition in the UW system.
And we're speaking with two experts on education policy, Peter Goff and Nick Hillman. Both work in the Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis Department at UW-Madison.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the budget went far enough in providing funding for schools in the state, or were you happy with the levels where they were? If you're involved with the schools, if you are an administrator, teacher, a parent, graduate of schools, what do you think about what you're seeing in school funding? Call 800-642-1234. What do you think about the idea of an across-the-board tuition cut for UW system schools? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Before we go to our callers, Nick wanted to ask you about technical colleges. The governor talked about them a lot in his State of the State as playing a big role in worker training for the economy of the future. What do we see there in the budget?
We see some similar things that we see in the UW system budget in terms of financial aid. There is a small amount of financial aid that's going to be targeted towards need-based grants, which just before the break, we talked about financial aid and how it's targeted. There is a small $10 million bump in the state need-based aid grant program, but that $35 million of keeping tuition down would be a different approach to funding that. And so the other part to this is you see in the tech college system this move towards performance-based funding, and they've had that in place for a couple of years now where state funding follows certain performance metrics, and that's retained in the Wisconsin Technical College System budget, and we're seeing it now also being introduced to the UW system budget as well.
And Peter, one interesting subplot in the school funding per pupil increase, schools get that amount per student if they comply fully with changes made in Act 10, which at least according to some reporting means the state's second largest city and school district, Madison, might be exempted from that increase.
Sure. It is an interesting twist. Act 10 gave districts the prerogative to shift the burden of insurance costs from the districts to the teachers, which it has its own set of you can have an entire conversation about that. But now Walker's saying that these districts, some of the districts chose to retain the insurance payment as a way to increase teacher retention, modify the climate so that they don't it's not hostile. And now Walker's saying that these districts that have made that choice in the past won't get this funding if they continue to do so.
To bring in our callers now at 800-642-1234, we've got Jimmy on the line in Waukesha. Jimmy, hi.
Hi. I'm glad we're talking about this today. One of the things I'd like to say first, I think Governor Walker said a lot of great things. I think the funding is unprecedented. What I'd like for us to do is to believe that that this is for the good of Wisconsin and that this can work. It disappoints me to hear the skepticism. The other thing I would like to mention that both Governor Walker has spoken about and our Secretary of Education DeVos has spoken about are for us parents that as much as we appreciate Wisconsin's education system and the wonderful teachers that we've got out there, some of us choose to homeschool our children. And I would really like to see an allotment, whether it's in the form of a grant or a tax rebate, for parents who choose to homeschool their children based on our values instead of the common core values of the federal government.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for the call. So can you talk, Peter, about homeschooling and maybe other alternatives to public schools as represented in this new state budget? What do we see so far?
Sure. We do see a huge increase in the amount of dollars that are allocated towards parental choice programs in general. And Jimmy, one of the things, points that you brought up that I think is interesting is just the fact that we can educate our own children, and I think having that diversity is incredibly important. But one of the missions of a public education system is to support the democratic ideal, and that involves the intermixing of ideas and people. Systems that embrace choice exclusively. It's one thing to have a small amount of choice. It's another thing to have an extended amount of choice. It promotes segregation of both people and ideas. And there's also the idea it's difficult to think about systems that have done a good job integrating choice, but still having the oversight to say, as a state, what are the topics and ideas that we want all of our children to know, and then how do we have that discussion, especially with the homeschooling and the private schools, and then integrating that with the public schools.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. We'll go next to Don on the line in Madison. Don, hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Don?
So I have a concern. Basically, I want to know how Governor Walker would justify the fact that between this budget and the last budget, apparently, from if I have the facts right, $695 million budget shortfall, but yet then he is continuing to give and cut certain positions in the public sector, or not the public sector, but the governmental sector. He's going to give $700 million to a private school vouchers. Only $18 million or $19 million to the Milwaukee school system, which is one of the larger school systems in the state. And then currently, I work off of grant funding that comes from the Wisconsin DNR, and my position is going to end as of June of 2017. So, and I have a master's degree. So certainly some of the things that we think are important are definitely not on Governor Walker and the legislature that we have right now is a list of important.
Don, thanks for the call. We're going to be talking about changes to the DNR on the show actually tomorrow. Staying with the education side of things, Don, concerned about increases to voucher funding, charter school funding, as compared to what he sees in public school. How does that stack up, Peter?
I think that's a great point, Don. The one of the big threats that I see from the flat grant funding that Walker has put into place is not the money itself. As we mentioned, it's an infusion of funds where they're desperately needed. It's how they're being implemented and what Walker's track record has been in the past, specifically with charter schools, where they've started off as a very, very small segment. He got his foot in the door, and then they've opened drastically in the year since. And one of the things that worries me is that we'll see this trend continue in the privatization of schooling, but we'll also see this new flat grant trend increase over time. And my guess is it will come at the expense of equalization aid across the state.
Talking to Peter Goff and Nick Hillman from UW-Madison, looking at education, K-12 and higher education in Governor Walker's budget proposals. Nick, want to get to a point you mentioned earlier about the sort of performance-based system. Here's a listen to Governor Walker talking about how that might apply to UW.
That will include criteria like the number of graduates, the length of time to graduate, how many graduates are employed, and how many are in high-demand areas within the state. We want student success to help fuel the growth of the Wisconsin economy.
So, Nick, this performance-based system, you mentioned it's been in place, something like it, anyway, for technical colleges. What do we know about how this would work if passed at the UW system level?
Well, under the governor's proposal, there are basically six buckets that would be subject to different performance measures. The two biggest buckets that would account for probably about 60% of that share focus on college completions. So he mentioned in that clip college graduation and then post-college outcomes like meeting high-demand workforce needs. There are some opportunities and some challenges with this approach. I think primarily when you start to measure graduation rates, they become really slippery because you have a numerator and a denominator. And so a college could improve their graduation rates by simply reducing the denominator. And so they'll want to be a little bit careful with not designing a system that is easy to game that could actually work against some of the state goals. Because if you shrink the denominator, you have fewer students coming into the system, and that might actually restrict access from college.
Right, I hear that the role of UW-Milwaukee in particular is we're going to bring a lot of students in. Not all of them are going to thrive in the system. They may not graduate, but this is going to be a shot for people, especially in Milwaukee, who might not be expected to have college careers. This is their shot to go to a prestigious college. Is that a place that might be affected in particular?
It could be, and the devil's going to be in the details with the design. I think in particular they can learn some lessons from other states where that use input-adjusted performance metrics, and so you can account for the profile of students and the background of the students, the financial needs of the students as they come into the institution, and then adjust accordingly.
Just about out of time, I want to ask each of you in your own subject area. Nick, first of all, any points in this budget that you're looking at that you've seen so far or are watching for that maybe we haven't gotten to yet in our conversation?
There are a lot of non-financial items that I think will be relevant, especially for students right now, with regard to the segregated fees that they would now, if this goes through, would be allowed to opt out of or opt into, and that could have a lot of financial implications I haven't heard a lot about. The other would be the push for three-year bachelor's degrees, and it's not entirely clear that that would be an effective or high-quality way to deliver education. Again, the devil would be in the details on that.
And Peter, same question, but for K through 12 schools, anything we haven't gotten to that struck you about this budget or you're curious where it's going to go as it moves forward?
There's one element that I wanted to follow up on that was there's one part of the budget where Walker wanted to specify not necessarily the amount of the money, but how the money got into the schools, and it was to bypass the districts and go directly from the state into the schools. And I wanted, was curious to follow up to see, as Nick had mentioned, the devil's always in the details, sort of how that actually plays out, what the restrictions are, and what the motivation was for that to happen, especially coming from Walker, who's been such a strong proponent of local control.
Peter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Nick, thanks to you as well.
My pleasure.
We've been talking to Peter Goff and Nick Hillman. They've been talking about Governor Walker's proposed education funding proposals in the state budget, K-12 and higher education. They're both professors in the Educational and Policy Analysis Department at the UW-Madison.
And coming up after the news, we talk with a Wall Street Journal reporter who says employers are struggling to find employees with soft skills like adaptability, grit, and in some cases, the ability to simply show up to work on time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.